If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's four games to go. There's four games to go. It's not five, it's four. There's four games to go. Pike, I'm getting really excited here. What an incredible time. Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa, are we on? RJ, are we on? We're on. Okay.
We're on.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Afterburner. My name is Ryan Pinder alongside my colleague from flamesnation.ca, Ryan Pike. Ryan, hello. Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Ryan, do you know how many games are? Four games to go! There's four games to go!
I think there's four games to go.
Thank you. I was starting to sweat. Oh, my God.
I didn't need to take my shoes and socks off to count this time. So that means that we're down.
Close.
We're in the short strokes now.
Unless you're a primate that someone has trained to watch YouTube, we are on a single palm of remaining games, which is exciting. Look, this is not a year of the Flames. I hope everyone's sitting down. Not going to make the playoffs.
Whoa.
So, with that in mind, I think what a lot of people are excited about is the future and what lies ahead in a busy offseason and the draft where the Flames hold two picks in the first round and their pick still remains in the top 10. In fact, the top eight. But tonight they played a game. It was one where they did work. They were not embarrassed. They did not fall flat. They were outclassed. They were outskilled and they were LA Kinged to death. That is not a team you want to give a lead to. And we watched them throw the wet blanket on. That said, late goal fired up the visitors a little bit. There was some push at the end. I definitely saw this game.
Yeah.
I was here. You were here.
We had a nice catch up. We caught up on the events of each other's lives. And in the background, there was a hockey game allegedly going on. I saw some movement on the screen.
There were bodies moving that were wearing Flames jerseys, and the Kings had those sparkly silver neck things on their jersey. It sparkled to this.
Yeah.
I thought they could go with chrome helmets tonight. They didn't go with chrome helmets.
Yeah, it was in the run up to the last game, Ryan Huska talked about the Kings infamously using the 1-3-1 in the neutral zone.
Yes.
There was a stretch in this game where they used the 0-4-1 to the neutral zone.
Say, did they add an extra body? Was it a 1-4-1? They really make life miserable trying to create chances. Yeah. All right. So tongue firmly planted in cheek. The final score is in. It is a 4-1 Kings lead. Victor Arvidsson with a pair, one into an empty net. He's missed a lot of time this year. He's up to four goals in the year, but has missed, I think, around 80% of the season, a lot. Huberto, the lone goal. It's Miramanov blast. He tips in, and Arvidsson and Fiala getting it done early. Arvidsson, a nice shot from the hash mark of the right circle, and Fiala on the power play. I really don't have a ton to break down aside from, I guess, wondering what your thoughts were on the roster, the lineup, and at this point of the year, no Blake Coleman. Markstrom back in, as you suspected, with a back-to-back, and Wolf playing in San Jose. What did you think of the people you were watching?
I was really looking for some of the youngsters. We saw, I think, the third NHL game at center for Connor Zary.
I believe so.
He was pretty good. We saw, I think, game 8 in the NHL for Ilya Solovyov. He was top four Solovyov tonight with the rotation the Flames have going on.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a lot of Slav. Yeah, yeah. He's fine.
Yeah, he was. I didn't, you know, my dad coached me for a couple of years, and he always said when I was playing defense, son, if I don't notice you out there, you're doing the right things. And I, you know, if you had told me that Slav had played and showed me a highlight reel, I'd be like, okay, I believe you. But
he was there.
Yeah, I mean, 18 minutes of absolute no event hockey. Exactly what you hope to see from him.
Three block shots, no giveaways, no takeaways, no hits, no missed shots, no attempts, no shots, no plus, no minus, no PIMs, no penalties. Yeah.
Yeah, he was fine. Zari was decent. Coronado showed some flashes here and there. I mean,
yeah.
The guys, if you're hoping to put kids with good players and hope that the kids don't look out of place, mission accomplished. They did not look out of place with the good players.
Yeah, and at this time of year, a loss kind of can feel like a win. What you don't want is to see people quitting and not trying. We have not seen that much from this group. There's been a couple flat efforts, but really I wouldn't even call that quitting. I'd call that playing 82 times a year. Every team, even the best ones, the ones that win the cup, have some performances that fall a little flat. This wasn't necessarily one of them for the Calgary Flames. Let's get right into it. It's our Betway highlight of the game for our good pals at Betway. Bet the responsible way with Betway. For that, we go to the only Flames goal of the game.
Yes, right. Will Ferrell sitting directly to his right. Zeri gets it back. Mirmanov with a shot. The score! Tipped in front by Huberto. The redirection by number 10 gets Calgary on the board and cuts the lead to 2.
There it is. So it is a blast from Mirmanov, as noted earlier, tipped in by Huberto, that gets him up to the gaudy total of 12 goals on this season.
And you'll notice on the clip that who wins the corner battle in the boards below the red line to set up the sequence? It was Jonathan Huberto.
Yes.
And then a nice little play sweeping down low by Connor Zary to get the loose puck. And then just some, you know, a lot of nice little things going on here. It's, you know, it's the kind of, I don't think this Flames club, especially with playing against a team with four guys clogging up the neutral zone, mm-hmm. was going to do a lot of end to end. They'd have to score some ugly workmanlike goals. And I know, you know, Jonathan Huberto isn't exactly the guy we associate with, you know.
That was a Blake Coleman goal. That's what that was.
That was a Blake. Yeah.
And that was a Blake Coleman goal.
I would argue that, you know, as much as, you know, I think folks are thinking, oh man, you know, will they take on the identity of Jonathan Huberto? I think 2 years into the Huberto system, I would argue that's not happening. But the opposite seems to be happening, where, you know, Huberto can play with a little bit of jam, and that's an example of when it works well. And, you know, good work for Connor Zary. I mean, playing his third NHL game at center, and all I can say is you wouldn't know it from looking at him playing.
Yeah, it's a feather in his cap. He's not been completely outclassed, outmanned. He gets an assist there. And I love anyone that's going to free up Sharon Govich to the wing, because I think that's where his talents shine the best and the brightest. But we talked about it off air. If Zary gets the, here's your workout plan for the summer, 5 pounds heavier, work on, take 250 draws a day, like whatever it is. No one is questioning the hockey IQ or the smarts of Connor Zary. It's one of the things that we've been continually impressed with. It's the poise, it's the patience, it's the smarts, it's the awareness of what's happening around him. I've been a little more skeptical, but God, if he were to become a center, that makes him even more valuable. And he's already a very good defensive player and someone that seems to make players around him better.
Yeah. And I think, especially for him, like his first year and change in pro hockey, I mean, he broke his foot or his ankle or whatever. He broke some bones in his lower extremities in a meaningless preseason game, a prospect camp game against the Oilers, you know, and stinky so Oilers. He missed a chunk of time in his first pro year. Last year is basically they, you know, essentially just parked him in the AHL. I think they weren't really entertaining bringing him up because they just wanted to give him some normalcy. And so this is a guy that came into the season with a year and change of pro experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very challenging to ask a guy to learn how to play, you know, both pro hockey and pro hockey center at the same time. And, you know, I think as soon as they put him on the wing, I think he got a bit of swagger going, and that's what got him called up. And then once he has some swagger and some confidence, I think him throwing him back at center has worked so far. And, you know, he was drafted at a center. He played, 4 years in the dub, almost exclusively at center. So it's something he knows how to do.
Yeah.
And I think now we're starting to see the pieces of the puzzle start to slowly come together for him.
Yeah. And look, maybe when this team is a contender again, he slides back to the wing and you have some sort of a stall type body where you're like, oh yeah, that's our guy that wins all the draws. But it is a very nice thing to have. Very good teams tend to slide centers to the wing because they have too many of them. Teams that miss the playoffs are trying out wingers and people squint and say, is he a center? So if he can play it effectively, kudos.
Yeah, it's hardest position I think in hockey to play outside of goalie, because you know, if you have a center that knows what he's doing, he touches a lot of part of the game. If you have a center that doesn't know what he's doing, there's a big hole in the middle of the ice all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, the best compliment I can give him is, much like with Ilya Solovyov, I wouldn't know how inexperienced Zari is at playing NHL center from seeing him play.
Okay. So I've been trying to do math and listen to you at the same time, and I can't do both, but I do want to get back to Huberto, who was our Betway highlight of the night, his tip in goal. We've had the conversation on Barnburner a bunch. How has his season been? What do you make of it? And everyone's like, oh, he's been great in the second half. It's been a much better year than last year. It really hasn't, in a weird way. But the second half absolutely has been. He had 1 point in December. Remember we talked about the gauntlet run. Again, the first half of the year, he had choice line mates in theory. They tried to build everything around him. It was a miserable first half of the year. 1 point in December. He had 10 points in November. And 5 in October. So that's 16 points in the first half of the year. Since then, he's gone 10 points in January, 11 in February, 9 in March, and 4 already in April. So my rough math has that at 34 points in the second half compared to 16 in the first. Now, games aren't exactly even, but point being, this has been a much better player, a more effective player, a guy that's starting to have more shades of Florida Huberto in the second half of the year, not the first. What do you make of that? And B, you know, him again, not really shutting her down at all to the end of the season. He's played well here. I believe it's a 4 or 5 game point streak he's on now. Interestingly, it's 4-3 assists and a goal.
When we talked to Mackenzie Weegar at exit interviews last year, Weegar mentioned that he didn't really feel like, you know, he had settled into the city, to the team, to whatever, until the All-Star break.
And that's when his play turned.
And that's when he turned. And that, you know, if you look at, you know, Uyghur's numbers dating back until last February, there's an obvious uptick and he's maintained it. And I think potentially maybe it took a little bit longer for Jonathan Huberto to figure it out. Because
for sure,
if you're Huberto, you're learning a new city, you're learning a new coach. You basically, you know, I don't think we're telling tales out of school to say that him and Daryl Sutter did not gel the way that you would want your highest paid player and your head coach to gel. I think him and Huska are much closer to being on the same page. Yeah. At the very least, they're in the same chapter, the same book. And I think they figured out ways to utilize the things that make Huberto so good. And I think if you look at, especially, you know, if you get guys that can bring some complementarities to Huberto's game, I don't think it's a coincidence that he's looked really pretty strong and engaged in the last little while. At the same time, the power play has gotten going. At the same time that Andrei Kuzmenko and him, and you know, they've started to develop a little bit of chemistry on with the extra man. And you know, we've seen him, you know, develop some chemistry here and there with a lot of different players. Him and Sharon Govich have gelled pretty well, you know. But I think with Huberto, I think once he just seems like much more at ease. Like, you know, his body language is better. His confidence is better. He's making more plays. He seems to, you know, Husko always jokes that, not really jokes, but he, you know, when he mentions that when the team's not playing well, they try to play through players or through teams. Huberto, I think, is sort of the canary in the coal mine for that, where if Huberto is playing comfortable and he's sort of figuring out, you know, angles to get around guys and passes he can and can't make, he's good. When he's getting sort of, you know, white knuckling it a bit and trying to throw passes through coverage, that's when it doesn't work. And I think
see when he starts praying and stops thinking, like,
maybe this will get through.
Yeah, then the Hail Mary this. No. Okay. So that's your Betway highlight of the night. Let's I think context is important. We talk about all these positives. The reason that all these things are improved is because of how bloody awful it was. He's still on pace to have a worse season than last year, which was the largest single season drop off in NHL history, from 115 points to 55, if I'm correct. So a 60 point drop.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But if you put two of these second halves together, now you have someone that, you know, is much more pulling the rope. He's certainly not going to be a superstar in this league again, I don't believe. I don't even know that he'd be a star. But if you can start to look like a $5 to $6 million winger, I think the team can live with that compared to what you saw
and
for the first half of the year and last year.
And, you know, it's the kind of thing where I think if you extrapolate is, you know, I ran it since Christmas, but same, it's because the numbers are basically the same. He has 35 points in 43 games since Christmas. Mm-hmm. And if you extrapolate that over a full season, that's 67 points.
Yeah.
So I think the big challenge is, you know, if he's scoring 20 goals and 40 some assists, if some of them are in clutch moments, you can live with him not being a point per game player. If you're just going to be like, oh, he scores goal, random goal, random assist here and there. If they're not key goals or assists, you don't really notice him as much. I think that's why there's been so much chatter about how good Nazem Kadri has been this year.
Yeah, he's been.
Or how good Mackenzie Weegar has been. And Blunt, let's be blunt, they've both been quite good.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, compared, you know, Kadri and Huberto compared to their previous incarnation last year. But man, you know, the reason you always get chatter about Coleman and Kadri and Weegar is because they score important goals and at important times. And, you know, this was a very nice tip-in goal in a 4-1 loss to a division opponent when you entered the game 17 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's doing great work, but I think we'll have a better sense of where he's at in October if he's still doing similar things when, you know, the slate's a little blanker.
Yeah, and again, we're just if you're watching as a fan of this team, you are hoping he can be a good player. I don't know that anyone's got the 115 point threshold on their bingo card for next year. That is your Betway highlight of the night. A reminder: Betway's giving you a great chance. Hey, Betway, I've been hearing about this Betway. I'll do that later. Now's the time. Look at this. There's your QR code. Give that a scan, and Betway's giving you the chance to win up to $200 back if you lose your first bet. There's no minimum wager. All you gotta do is open a new account, claim your bonus. It's got to be outside of Ontario. That's fine. It's great, actually. And what you can do is place a bet down. If it doesn't win, they'll give you that money back, up to $200. No minimum bet again. And then you can take that money that maybe you didn't win your first bet and you've got it to use elsewhere. Not bad at all. There it is. Scan that QR code and away you go with Betway. Again, available only to customers outside of Ontario. Before we go to break, I know you had natural stat trick up there. What did the game finish at in terms of chances and high dangers? Because we talked about it. Like, the LA Kings is a team you do not want to trail to. They have the ability to just smother, clog, wet blanket a game. And as much as I like the Flames push, it was absolutely too little too late against a team like this. And the Kings really did take it to them tonight.
I mean, they had a better third period, but that was also score effects.
Yes.
The Flames ended up, I think it was 24-17 for the Kings overall for scoring chances and 9-5 high dangers. So
it was 8-2 actually at one point in the third before the Flames got on the board. So
they clawed back a bit.
Yeah, and then I believe they scored that goal at the 11:32 mark, so less than 9 minutes remaining. At that point, are the Kings, like, that score effects classic? Not after the goal necessarily, but just that late in the game where you're up by two.
Yeah, I think you throw it into cruise control a bit, and yes, you know, that's the name of the game for the Kings, especially, you know, the Kings are currently third place in the Pacific Division. If the standings don't change, the Kings will end up playing the Edmonton Oilers, and I could see a bunch of games kind of look like this where, you know, a talented group tries to break through the neutral zone and the Kings do their level best to try to suffocate them and just clog her up and make them chase things around. And
if you look what the Kings have done, they've kind of built a roster as if they're going to run into Edmonton again. And it's kind of what the Flames tried to do the one year they did run into Edmonton. It's just that they didn't play particularly well and they had a crucial injury in that series. And the other guys still have the superstars, which is why you're game planning for them. Tip of the cap to, you know, the stars that make you alter the way you build a roster. But when you go get Pierre-Luc Dubois and add it to a group that already got Philippe Deneau, it's already got Quentin Byfield, it's already got Anze Kopitar, you have four top three centers. And that's probably, with a strong decor, your best recipe or your best chance to neutralizing star forwards on an opposing team.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, the Kings are going to, at this rate, line up against Vancouver, Edmonton in the first round, and they both kind of have a similar style, a similar look. I would argue that the Oilers have those nuclear deterrents, whereas the Canucks are, I think, a much more balanced team.
Yeah.
And we'll see how things go.
Demko's a big question mark there, as is the netminding in Edmonton, which has been streaky this year.
Demko might be back on Thursday.
Right.
And or so Tuesday.
And we are expecting that he will play soon, but can he get into rhythm? Is he like locked in, or is he just, he was hurt and that's why he let that soft one in? We'll see. That's a wild card for me as well. Anyway, I'm excited about playoffs. It won't be the Flames this year. The Kings do punch their ticket with their victory tonight. We'll take our first break back with a look at the schedule. And I asked you to do something regarding that as well. What was it? Lottery odds? Could we look at the lottery odds? That? And yes, the Hungry for More as well. All that, inverse standings, and more when we come back. It's Afterburner.
Greta, it's our home away from home for Afterburner. We'll be there for live watch parties throughout the season. Should be your spot regardless. Before, during, and after the game, grab a cocktail, something from the menu, let the games begin, or maybe you get into the game yourself. Over 50 arcade games from vintage to state-of-the-art. Load up some credits on that Greta game card of yours and get at it. Greta Calgary, located at 213 10th Avenue Southwest. Check them out online, gretabar.com.
It's nearly the best time of the year. Playoff hockey is around the corner, and I'll tell you what, the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino is the place to be. Cheer on your favorite teams with us at the Stage Bar. Enjoy the big game on one of those huge screens over the bar with friends, drinks, and delicious food. Let's go visit greyeagleresortandcasino.ca for more information. Now, while I've got your attention, let me tell you about the happy hour at the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino. Let's make the most of the day and spend your afternoons with great drinks and food. Join us at the Stage Bar and Blaze Bar and Grill for our new happy hour every day, 2 till 5. Enjoy food, drinks, all starting at $5. Make the most of your days. Visit greyeagleresortandcasino.ca for more information. If you're thinking of buying or selling your home in the Calgary area, there's one guy you've got to talk to. That's Derek Newman of the Derek Newman Real Estate Group with CIR Realty. Buying or selling doesn't really matter. Derek does it all. He's a volunteer in the community, active in sports around the city, whether it's golf, curling, huge Flames fan. So talking sports or talking about the real estate market, definitely give him a shout. He's approachable, trustworthy, and hardworking. Also, Derek's got a pretty vast network. He's even got access to some homes often that aren't even on the market yet. And you can ask him about his complimentary home staging consultation as well. Buying or selling, call him or text him right now at 403-619-6661. Derek will make it easy for you. Get Derek and his network to work for you. That's Derek Newman. Email him at dnewman@cirrealty.ca. More post-game reaction right here. We're back on Afterburner. Welcome back. 4-1 LA Kings beat the Calgary Flames in this fifth to last game of the year. Far to go. Ryan Pike, Ryan Pinder, a lot of Ryans, Ryan, a lot of you in the comments as well. Make sure you submit any questions or comments you have. RJ is producing tonight, and RJ is going to star those comments and save them for later. We'll get to all of the non-shitty questions and we're going to get to as many as we can get to the comments and questions tonight, Ryan. That's what we'll focus on.
That's right. The gems.
Does it make you feel awkward when I use foul potty language like that or no?
Yeah, it's late.
Thank you.
Good. We're not offending anyone listening.
We're not. I just don't want to offend you. That's my real concern. All these people in the comments.
You know which people. I've covered this team long enough. I've heard a lot of stuff.
Salty language. Fresh into port, the sailors had taught us some new words. Okay.
Yar.
Let's get to the road ahead. We do that for Village Honda. Here's the thing about Village Honda. Northwest Auto Mall, villagehonda.com. Whether it is a pre-owned vehicle you're looking for with over 90 on site and up to 500 access to them throughout the dealer group, or a new vehicle where new vehicle pricing is MSRP. Doesn't really matter. They got you covered. That's where your automotive adventures begin. VillageHonda.com and in the Northwest Auto Mall. Go up, say hello, and tell them you're a big fan of the burner, whether that's after, barn, or both. What are the Flames looking at on the road ahead? And what else can you tell us of intrigue here? I might even pry you on some Wrangler ATO assignment type information.
Well then, my friend. All right. So as you noted, four games to go.
Yes.
Those four games are.
Is that right?
20 some hours from now, the Calgary Flames will be in scenic Anaheim, California, across the freeway from Disneyland.
RJ, huge fan. Yes.
Yeah, big fan. They'll be at the Honda Center to play the Anaheim Ducks.
The Village Honda Center.
The Village Honda Center.
Yeah, just for example.
Then they will fly home, and on Sunday, 6 o'clock start, they're playing the Anaheim or the Arizona Coyotes, the soon to be Utah, whatever the hell they're called.
The Salt Lake Soakers.
The Soakers. So it in a very real sense, it could be the last time the Coyotes franchise comes to Calgary before they change into whatever. So
it absolutely will be.
It almost definitely I'd be shocked if it isn't. Then they're back on the road Tuesday, 8 o'clock start in Vancouver to play Vancouver Canucks, who at that point will be battling the Edmonton Oilers for first spot in the Pacific Division.
True, yeah.
So that'll be a game of intrigue and consequence. And then a week from right now, the Flames are back at home to face the San Jose Sharks for the fourth and final time in a game that will not have much in the way of intrigue or importance outside of draft lottery odds.
Yes. And I don't know that San Jose can move. It's most likely Calgary.
San Jose can't move. San Jose is locked in
to move up or down, depending on how you're viewing the standings. And we'll get to that in a moment. Vancouver Edmonton's interesting race. It's
very.
because Vancouver had that monster lead, and you knew that the shooting numbers, the PDO, would level out a bit. And Edmonton, the opposite was the case. They were out chancing the crap out of teams, but couldn't finish and got some really shitty goaltending the first month or so. And here they are into the final week of the season. One team will get a wild card and the other will host the 2-3.
I remember vividly being in a stadium at the end of October covering an outdoor game between two teams on very long losing streaks.
Yes.
And since then, I mean, both the teams kind of got their acts together, but I don't think anyone really anticipated the boys up north going on a run to this level.
Yeah, I think everyone thought they'd be better, and I think everyone thought Vancouver would come to earth, but for it to be this close to the end, yeah, that's a lot of ground they've made up. There is a 16-game undefeated streak in there as well.
I mean, when you never lose, it's an easy way to gain ground the standings.
Write that down. Hand that to the coaches. That's good stuff.
The best way to win your division is to go 82-0. The next best way is to lose a lot less than everyone else does. But I think right now the gap is 4 points between the Canucks and the Oilers. Two games in hand, yeah. So, the Oilers next up, I think they play the Utah Coyotes coming up, I think, tomorrow. And so that'll be a very important game. And
the Utah Coyotes are rolling a bit here.
Yeah, I think that race is going to go into the wire for the Pacific Division, but also mean, the Coyotes aren't a bad team. And I think, they're going to be pretty motivated to finish out whatever phase of their existence they are. I mean, they're not a bad team. They're just a team that doesn't really, the shape of their team is okay, despite how ramshackle their organization has been. So,
yeah. And they had a 9-game skid or an 11-game skid right after the Flames played them in Mullet and then came home and started the homestand with the game against them. They went on a miserable losing skid and they were above the Flames in that wild card chase for a long time.
They dropped like a stone for a while.
And so now that's cooked into their record just as the Flames October was, but they've played much better in the last few weeks here.
Yeah, they've got some pieces.
Nashville's point streak, I believe. They handed Vancouver a loss recently. Like they've had
Their
results.
They're coming in on this road trip. I mean, maybe it's because they're playing in buildings that are the regular size that they seem to be energized in this road trip. And, they're a group with a chip on their shoulder. I mean, as shitty as it is to basically be told, yeah, we can't tell you for sure, but you're moving to Utah probably. Imagine if you're on that team and you've been dealing with this stuff hanging over your head for how long.
I think your problem was probably like almost just happy for closure. Like,
you're just tell do it already.
Tell me it's done and we can get this done with. Like, it's been looming and hanging over this organization for a while, since they got evicted from Glendale.
Think about I've heard from so many fans in this market that, I think fans are going to be excited about this new building when it opens in 2027. Mm-hmm. But I think when the deal got done in October and they announced everything, everyone's like, okay, good, fine, great. Just we're tired of hearing about this. Just do it already.
Yeah. Tell me when they break ground.
And I think that's kind of the feeling with the Coyotes where this has been, it's been sort of like the Coronation Street, the little in the background the whole bloody time.
What's the theme go for Coronation?
I forget. I'm not very good. But remember, you ever watch,
Cody.
At the, this, I'm just going to age myself. So back when Hockey Night Canada was explicitly and exclusively a CBC property, they did the early game, the late game, and then after hours, it cut into Coronation Street. So you'd be like asleep on the couch after the late game, and then the damn bloody horns from Coronation Street's theme song would just wake you up. You'd be like, what the hell happened? Did the Oilers lose?
I'm going to age myself because I'm older than you, I imagine. Not by much, but I am.
A little bit.
I'm an 81.
I'm an 85, so you're older than me.
Perfect. I recall the bars when the station would go off the air.
Yes.
Waking me up on the couch on many a Saturday night.
Remember. Because
they'd replay the games after the late game on Hockey Night. I don't even know if after hours an event yet. And it would be like,
Coronation Street. Red. After Coronation Street, if you stayed awake past however much Coronation Street they gave you, they did that beautiful, like, I think the National Film Board had that beautiful, like,
Coast to Coast National Anthem.
Yeah, the National Anthem, and then color bars. They're like, okay, National Anthem. Basically, the bars are used the National Anthem to tell people, like, okay, get the hell out of here.
You losers. That's
get up, get out. If the color bars are still on, someone's going to be out here to physically throw you out of the building.
That's right. It was, okay, dummies, wake up and go to bed. That was a courtesy that the CBC did.
They gave you a nice long anthem to sober up, pay your bill, and get the hell out.
What's left for the Wranglers? I'm not going to put you on the spot for specifics, but in terms of like ish ballpark, there's a lot of bodies.
Three games left for the Wranglers. They skated to a 3-1 loss to the Abbotsford Canucks. Conveniently enough, every single game they have left is against the Abbotsford Canucks. This time tomorrow, they're playing, not this time, but 7 o'clock on Friday, they're playing their last home game against the Abbotsford Canucks. And then they go back to Abbotsford to play Friday and Saturday against the same Canucks. At this point, the Wranglers are in the 7th and final playoff spot in the Pacific Division.
So look at the two seeds because the one gets the bye.
I think one or two. I'm literally pulling up the standings and stalling as we speak because I don't know this stuff off the top of my head anymore. I blame Paige because she knows this stuff off top of her head. So they're tied at 78 points right now, and the Wranglers have lost a couple. And Abbotsford has moved up. So the Condors, Edmonton's farm team, and the Wranglers are tied, but the Wranglers have played more games. So more likely than not, we're going to see the Wranglers finish probably 7th. And in that case, they will face either Ontario or Tucson or potentially Colorado, because Colorado has a bunch of games.
Mike, I'm going to save you some words. It's undetermined. There's a lot to sort out there.
Yeah. Most likely they have a very uphill battle to get a home first. For folks who don't know, there's 7 teams in the Pacific Division. The first place team gets an automatic bye into the second round, and then the other 6 teams play a 3-game series all in the same building against in the higher seeded team's building. So the Wranglers would play 3 in Tucson against the Roadrunners right now if the standings didn't change. And so they face an uphill battle to get some home playoff dates. I think that's fair to say. But, you know, the sooner you mentioned, you teased the prospect of ATOs, the Wranglers, you know, they've added some bodies. David Silley, who Wes Gilbertson from Post Media did a cool feature on him. His dad used to play for the Calgary Stampeders back in the day.
Yes.
So
and
he's
a Penticton V, I believe.
And a Penticton, yeah, Penticton V, David. So he's you know, a right shot center trying out for a spot of the Wranglers. He's got an AHL deal for next year. He's been playing. We haven't seen Yoni Yermo. They have 10 defensemen. We haven't seen Yermo yet. We haven't seen Etienne Morin. He just got here. Sam Honzig is injured. Once he's cleared, he might play. He's in town. Jaden Lipinski just signed an ATO. He's in town.
Jim Lipinski.
So Jaden Lipinski, Etienne Morin. There's a lot of French names, a lot of names that sound like they could be French if you pronounce them wrong.
Good points by you. Very good. Thank you for that. So the road ahead, 4 to go for the Flames. Hopefully a lot more for the Wranglers. They will make the playoffs. They have qualified. But where they go and who they play still to be determined. Hopefully we get some sort of a playoff run at the Dome. That would be nice.
It'd be nice to get some games. You know, Pittman, I think.
Flames, nah. Roughnecks, I feel like, given the formatting, if they go to the playoffs, they probably start on the road.
I couldn't tell you.
Anyway.
I hope they get playoff games.
Wranglers, go ahead. Please, get us a home date.
The Roughnecks playoff games are always fun, though.
Oh, everything Roughnecks is always fun. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That was your road ahead for Village Honda, villagehonda.com, and the Northwest Auto Mall. Give them a spin. Say hello. Visit. Check online. Whatever it is. It's a good time of year to get yourself into a vehicle that's a little more trusty. If you've survived this winter, don't try to do it again. Maybe get your tires changed, a little service cleanup, whatever it is. villagehonda.com. Com. Okay. Hungry for more. We do it for DoorDash. If you're not familiar with DoorDash, first off, great to have you back. Happy to see you out of your coma. Now that you're back, it's been a long time. People can actually deliver food to your house. And it's not like a delivery guy that gets tied up for like 2 hours. It's like a service that goes to all kinds of different restaurants. And here's the thing. DoorDash isn't just restaurants. It's also pharmacies, grocery stores. It's a lot. I know you just got out of a coma for a decade, but trust me, it's going to be awesome. Download the app, hammer the promo code Nation25, and you'll get 25% off your first order and free delivery. How about that for our good pals, listeners, viewers, and such? That is what DoorDash is all about. You're out of a coma. You understand what I'm putting down?
What I'm getting is Nation25.
That's all perfect.
That's all I really need to remember from this.
What are we hungry for more of tonight? I'm going to put RJ on the spot. I'm hungry for more draft lottery certainty and spins of the wheel. Do we have the power? I'd love if we had the power. Do we have the, could we, do you think? Oh, look at this. All right. Just now before we start.
Big money, big money.
Before we start, you have to be disciplined. If Tim Nacky's taught us anything, the blackjack wizard himself, discipline is important. We don't just spin till we get the flames. We have to predetermine how many spins we're doing.
Remember last year, the flames were actually one ball away from getting the second overall spot.
What's the difference between being one ball away and let's say 40,000 balls away?
So they draw four balls. They draw four balls.
The number next to my ticket won the 50-50.
Exactly.
Oh, did you get half the pot? Oh, you still got none.
And goodness knows
it's the illusion of being close.
The random number was my lucky number. That's my wife's birthday. I should have played.
You should have played. We're going to do three spins, or are you hungry for more than three spins?
I'm hungry for that many.
Okay, let's do three spins. This is what I've been hungry for. Okay, RJ, the power is yours. Don't mess it up. It's a lot of power. Oh boy, do you see that logo flash? Calgary Falls won.
So who won here? Ottawa, San Jose stays up. San Jose stays at one. Ottawa moves up. From how below the flames.
That doesn't make any sense. Oh, St. Louis jumps. Gross.
Ooh, see this? That's bad.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That is bad, RJ. Good stuff with that.
St. Louis.
Yeah, we need to spin this again.
Flames still at eight. Okay. Arizona. Utah.
Yeah, Salt Lake City Soakers.
Celebrini? That's good. Celebrini to the Soakers?
That's good. Yeah.
It's good.
See, you got a superstar in a new market. Perfect. Montreal going up to two. Get out of there. And last but not
that's good.
Love it. That's
so Chicago gets another fine young man.
Which I would trade and happily, yeah, I can live with that given, yeah, you zoom right in on that, RJ. That's beautiful stuff. Yeah.
Woo.
Wow.
Can you imagine if you're the Flames, the first time you win a draft lottery in your existence and you win second overall?
They've never picked in the top three. I think they'd be doing backflips to win.
They have.
Not since they moved from Atlanta.
In the 70s.
I'm sorry.
Tom Lysiak is...
you must have read that new book I keep hearing about, On the Clock with the Calgary Flames at the NHL Draft, written by Ryan J. Pike, whatever your middle initial is.
They got Tom Lysiak. They got Jacques Richard.
I want more than Lysiak and Richard.
Artem Levchinov.
That might work.
I'm just saying, Levchinov. You need a big D man.
Let's say the Flames can't get Celebrini. I've seen a lot of mock drafts that are all over the place, 2 through 10. Yeah. Like you can see a guy at 2 in 1 spot, 7 somewhere else, 5 here, 3 there, 12 here. Maybe 12 is a little high, but is there a guy you're like, oh, Celebrini's off the board. This is the guy that I think suits the Flames' needs, wants, or something you just like about the player the most?
How nervous are you about Russians?
Well, Craig Conroy isn't. I know that. Have you seen his work?
I know. The Russian ambassador
first trade made was what?
That's Belarus.
So hang on. Yeah. So Toffoli out. Sharon Govich comes in. Bell Russian forward.
And the draft pick he used
is
on a Russian-born player.
Adar Suniev.
Yeah.
Played at UMass and had a solid freshman season, we can say.
Pretty good. He's good. Good.
Second trade he makes is Russian out, Zadorov.
For 2 picks.
Third
and one of the picks he used to trade to San Jose, he got a Russian defenseman.
Nikita Hochuk.
Yeah.
Hochuk or whatever we're saying. Okotoks. Sure. Works for me.
Yeah.
That's we're up to 2 Russians and a Bell Russian.
Yeah.
And then the third transaction was Elias Lindholm in exchange.
Andre Kuzmenko.
Who is from
the great country of Russia. Actually, he's from the most remote major city in the world.
The most remote major city in the world. There's got to be some weird qualifications to meet there.
He's got some stories, man. He's got some stories.
Okay, I believe he would. Has he shared any with you?
He shared a few in a couple of scrums. He's a funny he's a funny guy.
He does seem like a great guy.
So there's more Russians.
So there's another Russian. The fourth trade would be the Tanev deal.
And that's when they got Krushnikov,
who is
Russian.
Okay. And then the final trade was Hanifin going to the Vegas Knights and
the great Daniil Mirimanov
from
the great country of Russia. Oh, I see what you're doing there. So you're saying that the Russian ambassador, Craig Conroy, is not afraid of getting a little Russian.
Well, you asked if I was afraid of Russians. Who am I? I'm not the GM of the Flames. The GM of the Flames is going to have to make these decisions.
Does it appear
that Craig Conroy is afraid of Russians?
All I know is the consensus first overall pick, Macklin Celebrini, good Canadian boy.
Yes.
After that, on the consensus list, I got Ivan Demidov, Anton Siliev, and Artem Levchinov. All Russians. All Russians. So if you're drafting top five, you're getting Celebrini, Sam Dickinson, or choosing between three Russians. Although Levchinov is in the NCAA. So, and it's
by the way, forming. I see some comments. Noah Hanifin did sign an extension with Vegas today. Not unsurprising, but
7.35 mil.
So a hair under what we had heard a lot about in the fall, which was a 7.5 times eight, $60 million deal with the Flames. Now, when you factor in the tax implications, it's actually more money net than what he was offered in the fall by the Flames. But I don't know that the max offer the Flames put on the table in front of him was 7.5. It does come into a range that I think we expected it to fall.
I think the I heard the same number that was out there. So I think
seven and a half. That was the 60 million. Turned down 60 million, and he did. And after tax, he'll make more than that. And by AAV, he'll make less. I don't think he cares that much about AAV so much as what you actually get to keep of the money.
And I think Vegas, depending on what happens with Robin Lehner, they either have no cap space or barely enough cap space to fill out a roster, and which is the Vegas way.
Martinez, Amadio, Stevenson, Marchessault, all UFAs this summer. That's significant.
Three to a good home, I think. I don't know how, if like, assuming that they put Lehner back in LTI, which I think that's a safe assumption. They got some decisions to make, even at that.
Yeah. And Marchessault's been one of those original fiber of the team type guys, but they've made those hard decisions before with Fleury and Schmidt and Riley Smith, et cetera.
Ooh, you know who's a UFA who might look decent in red?
Chandler Stevenson. Yeah, I mentioned his name. He's a center. He's,
where is he from? Saskatoon.
I was going to say the Prairies known Brad McCrimmon, but I think he might even predated McCrimmon's time in the organization as GM. Okay, we're getting off track. That happens with Pike and I all the time. DoorDash hungry for more. What are you hungry for more of? Because I was hungry for draft lottery. I got my wish.
I want to see more Zary, man. I think Zary at center, I think he's looking more confident. He doesn't look a bit out of place. And, you know, that's a confident play. That's a smart play you make. Cycling down, helping out your line mate, moving the puck to the point like a good man. And then just, you can see him. He's basically almost up at the high slot by the time the shot got off. He was just going back to position. And all of a sudden he's in the net. So, I mean, this is, he's doing a lot of things. I mean, we, you know, I'll say this for folks who I don't think he'll finish extremely high in the caller balloting, but I think he's going to get votes. I think once you see Zari play live, the thing that most impresses me is the music between the notes. Like the details of his game are so good. He knows where to be. And, you know, I think he needs to figure out ways to win a few more battles, but he's in the battles and he's always in the thick of things. And for him, it's just a question of sort of, you know, adding a little bit of oomph to his game, but he's always where he needs to be. He always does good things. He's very quietly, I think, second on the Flames amongst forwards and plus minus. He was plus one, I think one of two players in this team that was a plus player. He had an assist. You know, he was good. He was someone in the comments mentioned he was in the black for faceoff wins on a team that has not been great at faceoffs.
It's sort of a skill and a trait that just takes time to get good at. If he's passable already, that's a great sign.
Yeah. And imagine if you have, you know, hypothetically, if you go into a training camp, you have a Michael Backlund and an Azem Kadri to basically say, okay, we're going to spend the whole, we're going to spend a month together. We're
learn from these guys.
We're going to show you the ins and outs, you know, basically watch a lot of video with them. I think, you know, he feels like someone who's scratching the surface. And you mentioned off the top, if he's someone that, if he ends up sort of just slotting in, then all of a sudden, okay, you've got a center who can fill some gaps for you. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it makes it a little bit less dire to necessarily, you know, hit on one of these picks this year. You don't really need to rush.
You want
to
hit, but it doesn't have to be a centerman, right?
And it doesn't need to be someone who gets you right away too. You can, yeah, you get a bit of breathing room, and you can sort of, you know, as Michael Backlund ages, if by the time Michael Backlund's contract's up, by the time the new building opens, maybe Michael Backlund's your fourth line center. And mm-hmm. you got, if, you know, you're hoping you can find some guys that push Kadri and Zari and Backlund down the rotation a bit. But if you're starting off with those guys as your 1, 2, 3, you're going to feel pretty okay about it.
Yep. No, that's fine. It's a good development. I like the Hungry for More. That is for DoorDash. Our good friends at DoorDash set to give you 25% off your first order and free delivery when you use the promo code NATION25. It's not just restaurants, Pike. It's grocery stores, pharmacies, flower shops, whatever you need. DoorDash is on the case. In fact, they even have this thing called Double Dash where you could do the, ooh, I mean, you could just stop at the bakery and then just go there and then you get the flowers and then what? A single delivery charge, not two. Thank you, friends. That DoorDash promo code is NATION25. We'll take a break. We come back with your questions and your comments. Also, an updated look at the inverse standings. Someone was not doing favors today. Other teams?
A little bit.
Wanted to, but not as much as they could have. Flames did their part. We'll check in on the other side on what the lay of the land is when you turn them standings upside down. That's next on Afterburner.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We are well into the winter months now, and you can feel it, can't you? That urge to get away. Maybe some beach time to warm up those bones of yours. Maybe a hockey sports kind of road trip. Well, when you pack your bags, make sure you don't forget Alberta Blue Cross. There's only one thing better than sharing memories, and that's making new ones. Alberta Blue Cross travel insurance protects your memories and more wherever travel takes you. Visit ab.bluecross.ca/travel for more information. Alberta Blue Cross, celebrating life's memorable moments inspired by hockey.
Hey guys, it's Pinder chatting about Charm Diamond Centers. Did you know that Charm has been Canadian owned and operated since 1972? And there's over 85 locations coast to coast to coast with Charm and their sister brands. Get this now. You want to get something custom made? How about custom rim building delivered in less than 4 weeks? That's unreal. That is the Charm Masterpiece Program, and they've got unbeatable pricing policies as well. Whether it's mine diamonds or Canadian lab-grown diamonds, check them out. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. That's charmdiamondcenters.com.
All right, gang, listen up. It's time to learn the pro pose. Coach?
Bend and snap.
Beautiful form. Nice arm extension. Facial expression, I could use some work. All right, let's see it. The pro pose. What's that guy doing?
I think that's the bend and snap.
That's a whole different deal. Mm.
Charm, home of the pro pose.
Oh! The only thing sweeter than the taste of victory is starting your day with the new Cinnabon Pull Apart from Wendy's. But there's no reason you can't have both now that Wendy's and Daily Faceoff Fantasy are giving you a chance to win weekly prizes all season long. And hey, even if you make a few wrong picks, at least you know you're heading to Wendy's right now for a $5 Cinnabon pull apart and a small coffee. It's a great choice. Sign up for the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. Let's get back to the hockey talk. Afterburner returns. Pike, you got to stop drooling all over the table here.
It was that Wendy's read.
Wendy's. Oh, God. Pinder, you know what's really good is that Wendy's. Yeah, I know. Pike, it's not a mom pop shop. We've all been there. It's awesome. We've had the malt.
I don't know.
We understand the spicy chicken sandwich and what it does.
In this market, there's a lot of competition for tasty chicken sandwiches. Mm-hmm. I would put the Wendy's, the spicy chicken up against any chicken sandwich in any place.
Just because you said that, you're not going to get free stuff. You realize that this is an authentic.
Oh, now you know where I'm going after this.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's fair. Good hours as well, I might add. Welcome back to Afterburner. It's a 4-1 final. The Kings beat the Calgary Flames. The Flames are down to 4 games remaining. As we noted, Anaheim tomorrow, second half of a back-to-back. You'd expect to see Dustin Wolf there. Arizona at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome on Sunday, 6 o'clock start. On the road in Vancouver next Tuesday. That's an 8 p.m. puck drop from the left coast. And then a season finale next Thursday against the Sharks at home. I basically just did the Villa Chonda road ahead. We've already done that. We don't need to do that. But what we can tell you is that there were other games in the NHL tonight with other outcomes that affect those upside down standings. We'll take a quick little wander through the results from this wonderful day in April, this final month of the regular season and the first month of playoff hockey. By the way, the playoff draft, get your teams together. April 19th, that's 8 days away. Go, go, go. In fact, it just clicked past midnight. It's exactly a week away. Why are we still talking? Go to bed, everyone. Just kidding. We're almost done. One segment to go. Pike finals from earlier today. The Buffalo Sabres beat the Washington Capitals 4-2. Good for the Calgary Flames because that stretches Buffalo even further away in the standings from them.
Buffalo
Bad
has a
for
6
the Washington point. Capitals who are trying to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, Buffalo now 6 points up with 2 games left.
That seems like you can't be caught.
The Flames, if they win a game, or actually, if the Flames lose a game, they mathematically cannot catch a couple teams. They cannot catch New Jersey, and they cannot catch Buffalo.
Love it. Okay. Elsewhere, Flyers get a big win in New York. They have been plummeting like a stone. That's a big win on Broadway against a divisional rival. Doesn't really affect the Flames in the inverse standings, but it will that chase for the Eastern Conference playoff spots, which we'll look at in a moment. Penguins and Red Wings, a thriller. A 2-goal lead for the Pens evaporates. 5-5, they go to overtime. It was 5-3 at one point for the Penguins. They still get a win. It is, Eric Karlsson blasting one home from Sidney Crosby. Who else in 3-on-3 overtime? 6-5, 2 points for the Pens, 1 for the Wings. Ottawa gets a victory tonight. That's 2 huge points for the Senators. All of a sudden, they are right there next to the Calgary Flames in the inverse standings, Pike.
Yeah, there's a couple teams within a spitting distance of the Flames. I think the challenge is, Ryan, that the Flames have 4 games left, and a lot of these teams are chasing
3,
you know, 3 or 2 in some cases. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, a lot of these teams, you know, the Flames will be down to 3 after Anaheim, and who knows how that game turns out. Back-to-backs have never been their bread and butter. I think the Flames have 0 wins in the second half of back-to-backs this year.
Is that right?
0. They have 1 point in, I think, 7 back-to-backs.
Seems like a low number, Pike. I got to be honest.
It could be better, but depending on your perspective, if that trend continues, then they're going to head into the final 3 games as a catchable team, potentially.
Yeah, they could still get as high as 5. Like, that is wild to me. Yeah. But it's true. All of a sudden, Arizona's playing better. Montreal and Ottawa have been right there for a while. Flames, take care of your own work. Take care of your own business. A win for Ottawa helped them tonight. Devils beat the Leafs. I don't know that Devils are kind of stuck in no man's land. That victory probably just secures that the Flames can't catch them in the inverse, I'm guessing. 6-point gap.
It's close, New Jersey and Buffalo are basically done. The Flames could top out at 83 points, but that's if they win out. I don't think they're winning out. At the very least, they'll likely lose to Vancouver, a team that wants to win the division to avoid a nasty first round date with the Kings.
Anyway, yeah.
They're not getting much help, but they're helping themselves.
Other results: Habs get a point. That is good news for the Flames. The bad news: they were up 2-1 in this game, only to watch the Islanders tie it and then win. That's a monster 2 points for the Isles, who. Instead of 0 points, they get 2. They're looking like the third team in the Metro, and it looks like maybe just 3 teams fighting for that final playoff spot when you look at Washington, Detroit, and Pittsburgh. Although Philly wins tonight, that keeps them somewhat relevant. Jets blank the Stars. That 2 good Central teams there. And the Sharks beat Seattle. That keeps Seattle closer to the Flames than you'd like.
Yeah, Seattle could have been completely out of, you know, Seattle could have joined New Jersey and Buffalo in the way too far to catch club. Mm-hmm. But still, like, realistically, Flames lose a game, Seattle wins a game, and all of a sudden the math is saying the Flames can't catch them. So, I mean, you know, it's I think we're at the point now where Flames, they're snugly in the eighth from last spot. The
it would 6% be very difficult odds. For them to have worse than eighth best odds, which means they could still select ninth with relative ease. A team behind them would have to win the lottery. But what's really new here is that they could get as high as five or six with much more ease than we saw even a week ago.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be one of those things that we'll be talking about whatever the result is on Thursday when you guys are doing the season finale show.
It's like, where are they picking?
Yeah, and it's going to be, I think it'll be, a lot of it will be dependent. I think this segment in particular on Thursday, a week from now, will be fascinating, because I think we'll be looking at, you know, a lot of these games will probably be close. I mean, I don't think you're talking about, like, all due respect to the Flames, I don't think that Vancouver game is going to be particularly close, especially playing in Vancouver.
Okay.
But those other games, like Anaheim, even on a back-to-back, I think that's a close game. Arizona, even with Arizona playing with a chip on their shoulders, they head home to pack with moving trucks. I think they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. And I think the Sharks, you know, the Sharks were pretty good in that one period against the Flames until
they've been competitive. They've had lots of stretches this year where they haven't been. They've been hovering around, we're winning half these games over a certain stretch, and that's better than a lot of segments of their season.
Yeah, it's there's going to be reasons to watch the last four games, but I don't know if they're necessarily going to be things that anyone but hardcore draft honks are really gnashing their teeth over.
Yeah, and you know what? The other thing is, we all know that picking higher is better, and maybe this is where, okay, once I know where this team is, now I'm going to dive into who are these guys and what's going on. I know a lot of fans are like, where are they? Where could they pick? Is it top this, that, and what's the draft like? When this team has a position, I think the casual fans are really going to start going to work, because you don't have to rip through 16 names like you have in years past when they pick in the teens. Like, it's you could probably pick a pet five, six guys they finish in the right spot.
Before we went on, got to tell tales out of school, but you and I were doing a bit of planning.
Yeah.
And I think the number we're going to be looking at probably to do dives in are 10.
You do 10 guys, you're definitely going to, I mean, Teague, the five defensemen. Obviously, Celebrini, if they win the lottery. If not, no point even talking about them. And then the centers and the wingers.
Yeah, it's you don't want to do any goalies?
I don't see any in their neighborhood. Pike, you're my not, God, if they take
you're a not here. Seeing a goalie until until the second or third round. It's a 14 class.
The Eastern Conference standings look like this: three games to play for New York Islanders, Penguins, Capitals, Wings. Only two left. For the Flyers, big win for the Penguins tonight. They slide into the final wild card in the East. They're 1 point up on Washington. That's it. They own the tiebreak of regulation wins with the Caps and the Wings should they end up there, but they're 1 point clear of Philly, Detroit, and Washington. Philly's got one less game remaining. They're in trouble. And the Isles, they've got three left and a three-point bulge on Pittsburgh. Never mind the rest. So 4 points up on the non-playoff teams of the Isles. Feels like they're in.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
A nice little run from Patty Roy. That coaching change raised a lot of eyebrows. It seems to have paid off.
Hey, the thing with Patty Roy is it always works until it doesn't. But right now it's working like gangbusters. So, I mean, they're going to probably be bringing playoff hockey to that gorgeous new building on Long Island. And
that'd be
fun. Good for them. I think, the Islanders, let's be blunt, Islanders fans have suffered through a lot of shit the last few years.
Yeah, and they got pumped by Carolina in round one last year, didn't they? Yeah. That's who they're lined up to play again.
I don't like that matchup.
I don't either. I was hoping for Rangers Isles, because at least then there's some rivalry juice. But hey, maybe those wounds are what starts a new rivalry. I want to tell you about a new ritual of mine. Every morning, basically, I wake up to chaos. I have 28-year-old boys. I have a wife that runs business, and I try to be in the studio by 8 something a.m. to get ready to show people videos of crocodiles biting people and things like that. It's very serious work I do, Pike. The crocodiles and the kangaroos, and
those videos don't find themselves.
That's right, they don't just get sent to me by people on Instagram. Well, actually most of them do, but either way, mornings are busy. So one of the new rituals that I've got that I'm super excited about, and that I just lets me just relax a little bit more, not that I'm super high strung, but more just like one more thing I don't have to worry about. I mix up my AG1, slugger back, bang bang, powder, water, shake, shake, send it down the hatch. And now whatever else that is going to be chaotic and go crazy in my day, at least I know I've got this nice foundation of good stuff into me. What is the good stuff? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. No gluten, no dairy, no GMO, no nuts, no eggs, no lactose, no animal products. AG1 is what we call foundational nutrition. We know sleeping is good for you. We know working out is good for you. We know all, you know, healthy habits are good for you. We also know that AG1 is good for you, which is great. It's going to help support immune, brain, and gut health. Those are all good things to support. And they don't stop improving. They, I believe it was 2010, they started AG1. There's been 52 improvements. They're constantly tweaking, Pike.
I like that.
Constantly tweaking. It's like you, and if you, you kept doing draft lottery simulations or mock drafts, you're just like, well, you know, I got to move this guy. TJ getting the score again. Move him up the board. That's what they're doing at AG1. So if you're looking for a little more, I guess, consistency in your routine, or maybe you're saying, geez, I just like to feel a little better about what I'm putting in my body on a daily basis. Get started with AG1. That's what I've been doing. And I actually kind of get antsy when it's like, it's getting low. Honey, can I borrow your, we're low. I'm not high strung, right? That's what I just said.
I'd say you're at least medium strong.
Medium strong. Here's where you guys come in. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3K2. That sounds like either the scariest Terminator movie or a mountain or both. D3K2. Either way, it comes this little dropper. Doop. Done for the day. That's it. Perfect. That's free. Not to mention five AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1/afterburner. That is drinkag1.com/afterburner. I think I forgot the .com in there. One more
you
time.
You did.
drinkag1.com/afterburner. That's drinkag1.com/afterburner. Check it out. Every day. Usually have like an easy thing with sitting here. Sturdy lid on it, clear bottle, or shake it until perfect.
And the shaking is your arm workout for the morning.
I'm gonna leave that one alone, Pike. We're gonna move right to comments and questions. So thank you for that. Boy, an hour already. Where is the time gone? Let's get to RJ and the questions and comments. Shall we do it? Yes, we shall. RJ, what have you got for us? Huberto, Zary, Sharon, Govich. Does that line work? Then so. Okay, so just very, very from a long way away, I would say Zary has got a very nice defensive profile, and we're impressed with his poise and playmaking. I don't think he's a great offensive player, but I think he's a smart one. And then what you've got on the wings there are two very, very high Q all offense, much better in the other teams than our end players. Does that line work for you?
He could be the Lindholm on that line. The connector.
I don't know that Lindholm worked on that line, though. That's.
I mean, Lindholm didn't work on a lot of lines, but I mean, if you're looking at, you know, what made the Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Lindholm line work, you had two guys who were very up-tempo offensive players and a connector.
Yeah.
And can Zary be the connector?
Yeah. It fits his skill set a bit, doesn't it? Yeah. And to be fair, I look at a player like Connor Zary, it's like, ooh, who do we put next to him? No, like put anyone next to him, right? Like, I feel like he's going to work well with a lot.
I think
he could play on a checking line. Like when this team's,
I think they're still in the
theoretical contender down the road. I think you could have him in a very, very like D zone loaded presence. I don't think I want that for Sharon Govich and Huberto necessarily, but I think he could work in a lot of scenarios.
Yeah, he's a smart player. In the A, they had him sort of playing all over the place. When in the dub, he was playing all over the place in terms of deployments. So far, so good. I think at this point, try him out in a lot of different situations and see which guys he clicks the most with, because, you know, figure out what he can't do and then figure out. I don't think they figured out the guardrails on him yet.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. And to be fair, like, where were expectations at the beginning of the year? Like, all he's done is shatter them and you continually raise them. And now it's like, wow, he's not a center. We'll try him a center. He might be a center. What an incredible year for him. Next question. Let's go.
So we got a lot of Zary tonight. Just so you know.
Zary, okay.
Land the hits.
Let's keep Zarying while we're on it. Will possible Zary and Kadri be united before the season ends? I think Zary's down the middle. They're not moving Kadri off the middle, so I'll say no.
Yeah, I'm gonna also say no.
There's only four games as well.
I'd want him to get a healthy
all dose the center he can handle. Yeah. And I don't know when they were mathematically eliminated, but I feel like it wasn't far off from when Zary started playing the middle.
Yeah, I think as soon as was that they had that one game where the Edmonton game, the coach said they wanted to try Sharangovic on the backline line. Mm-hmm. He could skate and, you know, play that big role. So, yeah, everything was like 2 games after they got eliminated. So pretty close.
Pretty close. Okay. More Zeri. Keep Zerying. Let's go, RJ. All the Zeds. Here we are. Really enjoying Zeri at center. How you guys feel about it? 58%. Yeah. Here's the thing about faceoffs. Like, how many of them are just scrambles that they have to attribute one guy a win and one a loss? Like a third? I don't know. 58%. That sounds really sexy. That's one faceoff goes the other way. He's a soft. But point being, it was a respectable night on the dot. I wouldn't get too hung up on one game percentages as much.
Let's be mean here. It's garbage time. It's see what you can do time. It's the Kings going, Lordy, let's just get through this game and see if we can win by one, because they're trying to save something in the tank for the playoffs too.
So. Yeah, they're up 3-0 for a lot of this game.
It's better than being 30% in the faceoff dot. He's doing everything you'd ask him to do in the situation.
Yeah, I shouldn't say 3-0. They were up 2-0 for a long while because they scored early in the second, if I recall. 54 seconds into the second, it's 2-0, and so the Flames were down by two or more from that point on. And then I wouldn't read too much.
You're the Kings. You're just rolling your lines going, boys, just don't look too bad.
Keep skating, keep working. And we'll have a celebratory cleansing ale. We'll have a Bart Murder Blonde after this one to celebrate, fellas. That's what they say in LA.
Do they have it in LA?
They can do international shipping. We'll have details for that next week.
I believe in them.
I believe in you. What do you think of signing Brett Pesce? Should he make it to free agency? It's an interesting defensive free agent class, Pike. I've been looking at it a little. It's not going to blow your socks off, but it's also not devoid of talent. And it's also got some guys that you think will probably just, you know, go to quickly to a contender where they're most coveted. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if the Flames added the defenseman in free agency. I don't think a lot of the guys that they're kicking tires on have anything close to a top four profile, and they're missing those guys.
They're going to have the ability to overpay, and I think that'll be nice. Exactly. And they'll have the ability to say, you want to play top pair of minutes? You know,
yeah,
I think
top four. Yeah.
I think the problem is, like, I almost say Pesce is almost too good offensively.
I'd agree.
I want them to sort of get, you mentioned, oh, what if they can get Tanev to come back? Maybe. Yeah. Like a player with Tanev qualities.
Someone to help a young offensive profile defenseman. Yeah. Which all of a sudden, there's a few around. You got Miramanov. You've got Shillington still.
If you have someone that could play both sides, basically, you know, a more defensive-y Uyghur, someone that can play both sides, sort of flip around, I think that's the ideal.
Because
they have a lot of guys.
TJ Brody's that. I don't know how much tread's left on TJ's tire. He's a free agent this summer. He's 34. Brady Shea, Tyler Myers will command some dough, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in Vancouver. And if he does that, he probably has to take a little less. Brent Seabrook available. No, he's not. He's retired. Okay, got it. Tyson Berry, Nikita Zaitsev, Hronik's going to get paid. Klimberg, nothing left there. Pesce, Dumba, Dillon. Yeah. Brennan Dillon's actually a guy.
If Pesce was a lefty, nice
case in a free agent year.
If Pesce was a lefty, I like that better. Like Brendan Dillon, but then I think probably with Brendan Dillon, and then you're getting into sort of the more third Perry guys where it's like Edmondson, you already have too many of those.
Zadorov, Montour's a good player, but he'll command the most maybe out of there. 32 points this year. Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, lots of D out there. I don't know how we got there, what we're even talking about.
We're talking about Brett Pesce.
Yeah, he's a guy, but I mean, I would think there's going to be a lot more competitive teams lobbing cash at a defenseman that's going to hit 50 points here.
Yeah, I wouldn't say no, but I think if you bring in Pesce, the question is like, okay.
That feels like a big term, dollar commitment.
You got to kind of shuffle some things around too.
I don't see it.
I could see them, you know, let's be blunt here. You know,
oh, Pesce, remember
when Derek England got signed and everyone's like,
why are you confusing the AAV in the term? Yeah, it's
one of the all-time great Bob McKenzie tweets. We miss you, Bob. I think we'll see a couple signings like that where you go, that seems like a lot of money for that guy. All right.
Yeah. Might be one of those for sure on the back end. I was actually quoting Brady Shea's point total, not Pesce. Pesci's definitely.
All these Carolina defensemen put together for me.
You look from a few years ago, there's not a lot of guys left there on the back end. Like Slavin's still there, but
they keep bringing in college guys.
Dougie Hamilton. A few guys all of a sudden now. Kate. Anything else, RJ, or have we exhausted? Who is the nuclear deterrent? They don't have one.
I'd like to rephrase this question for Mickey. Should the Flames be interested in bringing something like this in?
In terms of offensively or for punching?
Punching, I think, is what he's talking
punching.
About. Yeah, I mean, look, there are very small windows to have one of these guys. If you're going to be a bottom 10 team in the league and keep your first round pick next year, it wouldn't be egregious for me, but I would think it would come at the expense of Walker Duehr, free agent AJ Greer, Dryden Hunt. Like, you need to keep top nine wing roles open.
Yeah.
And they already have too many wingers. Like, you know, Coleman's out tonight, which allows Coronado to get in the top nine. Pelcher's not even on this roster right now. Yeah. Mangiapane has 1 year left. Kuzmenko has a year left. Sharangovich has a year left. If you wanted to use a 13th or 14th forward slot on someone that punches faces and can boogie around and hit people, you could. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I would have a really big problem with it if you were a contender, but maybe someone could feel the opposite. I do.
Yeah, I mean, I might be questioning what the point would be. I mean, because
it's fun for fans. That's about it.
I think the big thing is, especially like next year, you're going to have a lot of really interesting, exciting waiver exempt guys. And
around the league?
No, just on the team.
Yeah, okay.
And so, you know, if you have an open forward spot, for example, you can just rotate, or even just, you know, traditionally they've been carrying 22 bodies just to save cap because that's just a thing teams like to do.
Yep.
If you have that 23rd spot to bring in, like, oh, you know, let's bring up Grushnikov for a weekend. Oh, you know, let's bring up Sam Hanzik to see how he does for, you know, like if you have the ability to sort of, you know, bring guys up short term and try them out for a weekend, make, you know, things like that. Having a dancing bear, as Kent Wilson would call them, it really minimizes your ability to be flexible. And I think, you know, if you had somebody who is sort of a guy who brought functional toughness, like, you know, we always bring up Michael Ferland, unfortunately, like you know, repeated brain injury, Michael Ferland. And unfortunately, playing that style of game and being able to and willing to do that kind of thing has drastically shortened his career. He should still be playing, to be blunt.
Yeah.
I think that's the big challenge. Like, you know, unless you have someone that can play a regular shift and also is willing to scrap every now and then, I don't think you want a guy on the roster just to be the deterrent.
Well, and then people have this disclaimer. Oh, but he's got to play. It's like, oh, so you want the hardest thing to find in hockey, a guy that can play. And
you want a unicorn. Toughest.
Yeah. Oh, you want, just go sign Matt Rampe. Like, he's in the first year of an entry level or second. Like he's under team control for another 5 years or whatever.
He's already like he's taken miles off his odometer very quickly.
Well, I mean, look, if you're going to have one of those guys, you want the toughest guy in the league and you want a guy that can play and all this. There are not many of them. And what are you going to bring up a kid to come play with a tough guy and, you know, Kevin Rooney on your fourth line? Is that a place for someone to develop? I don't know.
Do you want Dryden Hunt, or you want a guy who can scrap a bit more?
Dryden Hunt, sure.
And
Dryden's had a good year. He's been the best Dryden Hunt he can be.
Hey, he scored a game-winning goal at Rogers Place. He's going to be telling his grandkids about that.
That's almost as impressive as hitting a home run at Rogers Center.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I saw one. It wasn't starred, but I need you. What did you think of WrestleMania?
Didn't watch it.
Oh, how long have you and WrestleMania not been talking?
32.
And it was,
I think that Roman Reigns Triple H match is still going on.
So what happened with you and WrestleMania? Do we only have time for this?
It was just like combination of like long ass shows. And
so you're literally boycotting, or you're just done with WWE, or just that feature event?
I'm just done with them.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
No Mondays, no Fridays, no.
If Sportsnet's on my TV on a Monday and I
didn't realize this had happened. I'm sorry for your loss, or I'm proud that you've moved. You know what? You're better because
I mean I'm more of an I'm more of an AEW and New Japan guy right now.
Okay, well the people know now. They can stop asking about that. That said, are you going to Monday Night Raw in Calgary?
No.
Oh wow, geez, he's really sticking to his guns here. Whew. I don't know if we can follow that up, RJ.
I don't think we can, man.
That's a lot. It's also been 73 minutes of us talking about one of the more meaningless games. Now that the show's over, I can say that. If you've gotten this far, you're not
going to when you're skating a shift in the National Hockey League, there are no meaningless games. This was appearance 212 for Jacob Markstrom. for the Calgary Flames. He's top five for goalie appearances in franchise history. That's a significant statistic.
We're going to agree to disagree on that one. Thanks for watching tonight, folks. Big shout out to all our sponsors. Thank you to all of them for being with us and to all of you watching us. And the combination of us doing things and you watching and listening and sponsors being involved allows my one child to potentially even have goaltending equipment.
Which, a goalie.
I'm now.
My condolences.
Sizing for.
I mean, what you got to do is try to get him to play soccer goalie because the equipment, you know, you just need the fancy gloves.
Yeah, no, he's it's a hockey goalie. That's what he wants to be. Tough note to end on. No WrestleMania, kid goalie. Let's all get some sleep and be better tomorrow. RJ, thank you, sir. Any final comments tonight from you?
Oilers suck.
Thanks, RJ.
He always has something ready. I didn't know he had that.
He was saving that one up.
But he had it. Thanks for watching. See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.